We also want to welcome each one to the service this evening. Thank Brother Andy for his prayer and for each one who has been praying. The title of the subject tonight is An Enemy Within. A group of locals were crossing an Arabian Desert Highway when one of them was accidentally hit by a car and killed. The driver sped away as the others gave chase. Unable to catch the car, they returned to the accident scene and waited. Finally, later in the day, they spotted the same car. The driver was on his way home from work. The bereaved man stood across the road and blocked it. They jumped on the car and smashed the windows. Who were they? They were monkeys. They knew only one way to deal with their anger, and that was to attack. Some years ago, when I worked at a place of employment, there was a man there who worked there also, and he told me about an experience he had in Hanover. He was parked in the square parking lot. As he was waiting on his wife to do some shopping, there was a woman in a fancy car and a fancy-looking lady pulled in the side of him and opened her door like that and hit the side of his door. And he was in the car, but she didn't even acknowledge what she had done. And he said, the longer I sat there, the madder I got. And finally, I opened the car door and sat on my seat and kicked her door with both my feet. I asked him if he felt better then. He said he did. But that just shows how anger can affect our lives. I knew some years ago of a couple who were up in years, who lived not too far from our home, who I was told did not even speak to each other for a number of years. Can you imagine living like that? I think these incidents give us a look at what often happens among people when the enemy within has control. Animal behavior can be a problem in the church also. Someone says something or does something that irritates us, and we can act animal-like. Instead of using Matthew 18, there is gossip, backbiting, and hateful words, wrong actions instead of soft and kind response. Anger is an enemy that within that needs to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Every person needs to deal with anger in some way or another. I remember some years ago in a Bible study when we talked about anger, and I was surprised how many people really struggle with anger. This evening, we want to look at this subject from three areas. First of all, some facts of the enemy within. Secondly, various causes and forms of the enemy within. And then dealing with the enemy within. Some facts of the enemy within. What is anger? The dictionary says it's a strong feeling of displeasure resulting from injury, mistreatment, opposition, and usually a desire to fight back. And usually this is expressed in two different ways. For some people, it's a hot flare-up. They're mad, they're violent, they're rage, it comes quickly, and it leaves quickly. Then for others, it's resentment, hostility, bitterness. It keeps on cooking within us. It may not flare out, but it's there, and it keeps on growing. Anger is just one letter short of danger. Anger is a wind which blows out the lamp of the mind. When we are angry, usually we do not think too clearly. Is anger sin? In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Psalm 37, 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Proverbs 15, 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And in James 1, 19, where our brother read, it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow in wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Isn't it true that too many times we speak too quickly instead of being swift to hear and slow to speak? Is there a difference between human anger and God's anger? In Mark chapter 3 and verse 1, and he entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there who had a withered hand. And he watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and his hand was restored whole as the other. We all know the other account where the money changers were in the outside part of the temple, and they were exchanging money and doing business there financially in God's house. And Jesus took a cord and drove out the cattle. He speaks about him being angry there. Let us test ourselves compared to Jesus. When God is angry, he always has eternal values in view. Do we? Also, God's anger is always against sin, not people. How about ours? God also maintains the love and welfare for the person. Do we? God's anger is never to protect himself. How about ours? The anger feeling is not sin, but if uncontrolled, it is sin. Good anger is when the feeling of anger are controlled to fight sin and uphold righteousness by the Holy Spirit. We'll look now at some various causes and forms of the enemy within. One thing it can cause anger in people is their childhood. I know a man that's in his midlife time now, in age. He's very frustrated. He's very resentful. His mother deserted him, his father. His aunt raised him, and she was very nasty to him. And he's a very angry person. No wonder it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Another cause of anger can be brain damage. Some people, during the birth, there was a struggle with the birthing process, and there was a shortness of oxygen they received to their brain. And because of that, there's a chemical imbalance. Another cause for anger can be a lack of sleep. You know, we can get a little irritable when we don't get a rest like we should. We need to be careful of that. It can be also because of a lack of proper food and exercise. Can be because of situations when normal things are changed. Some of us don't like change, and that can cause anger in our life. And I think one of the greatest things is to cause anger today is too many times we're spread too thin. We think we have to do everything, and we just can't do that. And I think we have to be careful that even in the work of the kingdom, that we're not spread too thin, and we're not productive as we should be. Another can be poor planning. I often suggest it to couples when they get married, to the wife, if they have some problems in the home or with the children that need to be shared, never speak about this till after your husband has had supper, because on a full stomach we can handle pressures better than we can on an empty stomach. The biggest reason, I think, many times with anger is a spiritual problem. We don't like to hear that, but that's probably the fact. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it speaks about a root of bitterness. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Take notice, many be defiled. Lots of times when we have problems in our life, it's so easy. A lot of people shouldn't be Christians, but a lot of people blame God for their problems. Or they may blame relationships, maybe their parents. So we have looked at some we looked at some causes. Now we want to look at some forms of results. One result may be depression. I heard a speaker speaking one time that he got up to go to work and there was no clean stockings in the drawer. He thought, well, his wife's been busy, it's not too much of a deal. So he wore the same ones that day. The next day he checked, the same thing happened. The third day he was getting pretty upset and depressed. That can be one response. Another can be a critical spirit, hostility, just critical of everyone and what everyone does. It can come forth in cutting remarks, nasty words, impatience and everything. And some people may cause them headaches. For some it may cause overeating. For some it may, especially sisters or women, it may cause them to cry. We have looked at some facts of anger. We looked at some causes and forms of anger. Now thirdly, we want to look at dealing with the enemy within. How do we deal with and resolve anger? I think the first important thing is we need to admit the problem. Especially in my early younger years, I had a pretty much problem with anger. We were first married. I worked away at Public Works and also farmed. And I remember at times when Patsy and I were baling hay, if a bale would break down or something would happen, I'd get pretty impatient with her. I realized I had a problem. In fact, one time, we had a tractor didn't have a lot of par takeoff on. We were baling hay, and whenever you get into real heavy hay, you had to kick it out of gear quick and keep the bale running. Well, sometimes she didn't do that, and it would clog everything up. Well, I got angry. And one time she just said, I'm going in the house, just go it yourself. So I started begging off, and I had to admit I had a problem with anger. In fact, maybe I'll mention this later, but later in life I asked two of our brethren to lay hands on me, that power would be broken, that was passed on through ancestors. Some people blame all their problems with anger. My parents are angry, and I can't help it, just the way I am. Or it may be a pressure. If it's a pressure at our job, it makes us angry, we should hunt another job. I think people who have a drive to get things done have more trouble with anger than someone who's sort of laid back. And we have to be aware of that. What causes me or you to feel angry? Is it people or is it things? And thirdly, do you really want to change? And why do you want to change? Who does it hurt most? It hurts me most, more than anybody else. Someone has said that the acid of bitterness in our life harms us more, the vessel that it's in, than anyone else. Some people, they say, have a lot of health problems because of anger. I have read that gallstones sometimes are caused by anger as a result of bitterness. There's a wrong relationship with others and a wrong relationship with God. There's other people who are affected by our anger. Could be our wife, our children, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Could be people we work with in the public works. We need to be careful of that and eliminate that. We need to realize it's a sin before a holy God to be angry in the wrong way. I think too many times we excuse it, but we need to confess that it is sin before our holy God. I think also when we try to cover up anger, we're denying the sovereignty of God. We're saying that God isn't really in control, and he's giving these things in our life that he can't help. The scripture makes it very plain that he will not allow anything that we cannot handle. So it's important we realize the sovereignty of God, and God allows those problems in our home, our life, or whatever it may be. We need to trust him and his sovereignty. Number four, we want to examine some things we can do with anger. First of all, we can repress it. We repress it and keep it in, it hurts us physically, emotionally, spiritually. We can express it, and it hurts other people. We know that. We have seen it happen. But we can suppress it, do something physically. You know, if we feel upset, we go for a walk or take a run, we may feel a little bit better. But that's not dealing with anger as it should be. We can confess it and pray. In James 5, we're told to confess our sins one to another and pray one for another that we may be healed. So we need to confess it and pray. And sin of anger has been passed on through our parents or grandparents, we need to have the laying on of hands and ask God that the influence of their past may not affect us. I think too many times we as parents and grandparents do not realize that any sin that's allowed in our life is going to affect our offspring. If you have a problem with a brother or a sister, take it to the Lord. You know, some people just rub the fur the wrong way, so to speak, with us. And we need to realize that that's sin. I remember some years ago there was a brother who I thought pretty highly of, but he had one or two things in his life that I didn't appreciate at all. And as I observed his life and as I prayed, I realized that I had the same problem in my life. And that's why I hated to see it in another person. And until I realized that and confessed it and turned away from it, I had no victory. We need to practice self-examination in our life every day. You know, Jesus died for this sin of anger. And if we're angry toward a person, we need to pray for that person. We need to forgive them. We need to take time to search our hearts. How much have I been forgiven? Or how do I need to forgive others? You know, we all been forgiven. I'm so thankful for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's so important that daily we allow the Holy Spirit to examine our life and confess all sin. And then we need to truly forgive anyone who has wronged us. The story is told of a young man who had been insulted by an acquaintance and was very upset, mad. Said, I'm going at once to demand an apology, he insisted. My dear boy, cautioned a wise old man, take your word of advice from one who loves peace. An insult is like mud. It will brush off much better when it dries. Wait till you and he are both cool and the thing will be easy resolved. The scripture tells us in Matthew 18, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word shall be established. And if he shall neglect to hear to them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And also in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Someone has said that doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenge sets you even. Forgiveness sets you above. I feel it's important that we as Christians daily search our lives and make a new commitment to a new way of life. Let others see Jesus control in our lives, even in trying circumstances. Don't let others control us by their response instead of the enemy within. Some years ago when I worked at Nell's store, there was a young man who was under my supervision, and he was an excellent worker. In fact, being there for quite a while, we left him take care of an owl, and he would order the materials and put on the owl. But he was also a packer, the one who packed groceries up front. But he was one of the last ones to call because we didn't always need him up there. But sometimes when they would call him, the checkout girls would call him, he'd hesitate a little bit before he went up, and then he got up there, they were upset. And then they'd be fussing at each other. And he was upset and they were upset. So I took him in the back room and I told him, I said, when they call you up front, they need you. And people shopping in the store, they want to get out of there. They're at the checkout counter and they want to get out. And I said, you have to give them first service. And I said, when you argue with the girls, they're controlling you. What do you mean, he said. He said, they fuss about this, fuss about that. And I said, well, when they ask you to come up, and then you come up, and then you fuss, and they fuss, I said, they're controlling you. Well, you respond in the wrong way. So he did much better with that. And it's a couple of years later, even after he was married, he came to me, and he said, Merle, you remember something you told me years ago? I said, well, I don't know what I told you. And he said about the situation, and he said, I didn't want them controlling me. So he learned his lesson from that. Are other people controlling us when we get angry? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we shouldn't say, well, we can't overcome this. God says that we can, but we need to submit to him and allow the Holy Spirit to have control. A traveling salesman was rudely treated by a member of a business concern. He told this humiliating experience to a friend, and his friend said, you did nothing about it after being treated like that? A fellow like that should be taught a lesson. Yes, said the salesman, but I'm not here to avenge personal wrongs. I'm here because I'm in business for my employer. You know, we are in business as Christians for the one who said, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not. Often made to think of Stephen. As Stephen was so mistreated, the stones were flying in him. His life was gradually being snatched out. He didn't get angry and curse and complain and ask for mercy. But the scripture says he prayed for those who were harming him. And the biggest thing here I feel was that Stephen's faith shone, it says. And I think, personally, I feel that's one of the things that changed Saul's life to Paul. He saw how Stephen responded. How do we respond when we are rejected, we are harmed, and we have pressures that make us angry? What spirit is controlling my life, and what spirit is controlling your life? God bless you.